Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth. Turn to you and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 10. Beginning at verse 22 in the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1141. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. We're continuing our series, Hearing the Voice of God. The last couple weeks, we've heard the first two parts of this discourse by Jesus, basically describing himself as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd not only lays down his life for the sheep, but the Good Shepherd is the one who calls his sheep by name. It's a very personal relationship that is described there. And so we continue with Jesus and this confrontation he has with the Jews, and his affirmation of himself as the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. Well, today we have two topics, really. We are here to honor the memory of those who have gone before us as we celebrate our traditional Sunday of All Saints' Day. But also, we're continuing our series on hearing the voice of God. Now, sometimes you'll hear pastors and preachers go to great lengths to try to two topics together. But actually, this morning, it's pretty easy, because it is very true is if we look at the lives of the saints, the giants of faith throughout church history, we will see many, many stories of them literally hearing the voice of God. St. Augustine of Hippo was born in the year 354. In Hippo, Africa, where he ended up being bishop. He led a very wild life in his early years, song, drinking, dancing, women. But at one point he was convicted by God, and his real conversion came on a particular day that he said he heard the voice of a child. He wasn't sure if it was a boy's voice or a girl's, but it's like it was in he was in his backyard, like maybe from a yard over, but he heard this voice. And the voice said, "Take and read, take and read." And so Augustine went to his Bible, which was there. He opened it, and his eyes fell upon these passages from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, beginning at verse 13. Now remember, this is a guy who's a real playboy, out having a good time. And these are the words the Lord gave him. "Let us walk properly as in daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Well, evidently that hit him right between the eyes. He accepted Jesus Christ wholly and completely, and went on to become one of the great theologians of the higher history of the Christian Church, Saint Augustine. About 800 years later, Francis of Assisi, we're very familiar, I think, with Francis. He was born around the year 1182, born to a very wealthy family in Assisi, Italy. Started to be drawn something about God, particularly as it pertained to the poor. But then one day he was praying in the chapel of St. Domitian. And it was this just little tiny chapel, kind of broken down, and there was a crucifix there. And Jesus started to talk to him. And Jesus said, "Rebuild my church." Well, Francis took this very literally, and in fact ended up rebuilding literally the church, stone by stone. But also he went on to bring about a great reform in the church in the Middle Ages. And of course, the Franciscan movement is still very much alive to this day because he heard that voice of Jesus from the cross. In May 24th, the year 1738, John Wesley was attending a prayer meeting at Aldersgate Church in England. He had been wrestling with his faith, but here at this prayer meeting, someone was reading Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. And as he listened to the words of this preface being read, these words, this writings of Martin Luther, he said his heart was strangely warmed. Now, he didn't hear an actual voice except what was coming through the text, but his heart was strangely warm, and for the first time in his life, he knew without a doubt the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. And of course, the rest is history as we know him to go on as the founder of what we know today as the Methodist Church. And so as we go through many lives of the saints, Saint Teresa of Avila, Mother Teresa, Joan of Arc, countless stories of these saints of God who heard the voice of God speak to them, and their lives were never the same. And so we want to talk today about how we as saints can hear the voice of God. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Derek Prince and his four steps for hearing the voice of God. First is to pay attention, to give attention to it. To expect it is what he's basically saying. Second was to be humble. Third was to make time out of our busy schedules. And the fourth was to try to meet God in a place of quietness. Now last week we looked at Mark Berkler, and Mark had a five-step process somewhat similar to what Derek Prince had. Basically, step one was to be still before the Lord, to put away the busyness. Second was to have a vision. He was taking this from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, where the prophet was told to have a vision of God. And that vision that Berkler talks about is having a vision of Christ and keeping our eyes on Jesus as we seek God's voice. He is the good shepherd. The third thing Berkler talked about was that this voice would come as spontaneous thoughts. As we're in quietness and we're keeping our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, spontaneous thoughts will start to come to our mind. Well, Berkler then recommends that we write these down, journaling, as Habakkuk was told, write the vision down. And then finally, we're told that we need to verify and to evaluate what is written. The fact is that although there are many ways the voice can come to us, it's not just the voice of God that will speak to us. Now, there are many ways that the voice comes, as we heard in the lives of the saints. For some, it was actually an audible voice. And I've heard some specific comments from people saying, yes, I actually heard God speak to me. For most of us, I suspect, though, it's more of an impression that we get, or a prompting, or as Berkler talks about, a spontaneous voice, a spontaneous thought that comes to our mind. Now, another way that God certainly speaks to us is through the Scriptures. I know for many of us, we've been very much enlightened and encouraged by the words of Scripture. And I hope you can understand when I talk about the light bulb effect. You're reading a passage of Scripture and all of a sudden you get to a section and it's like a light bulb goes off. It's like, wow. In fact, some of us, you know, readings we've read time and time again and all of a sudden I bet that was never there before. Somebody came in the night, you know, and wrote that in my Bible. And it's just like a light bulb goes off. And it's a moment that God's saying, you know, this one, this is for you. Hold on to this one. There's a message for you in this passage. And so that's that light bulb fixture experience when we get into the scriptures. Now, another way that scriptures, God could certainly speak to us is through other people, hopefully through sermons, through preaching, through teaching, maybe through an author, a book that you've read, maybe someone you see on television. There's many ways, in fact, that God speaks, but it could even come maybe from a stranger, someone you don't know can say something, and we come back and ask ourselves, well, in fact, you know, is that something of God? So whether it's an impression or a feeling or even an audible voice, even if it comes from an angel, by the way, you know, there are angels who come to deceive people, so we need to ask. The test is, tell us about Jesus. I actually heard someone in a written was talking about that. They were visited by an angel, and they said, tell me about Jesus, and the angel vanished. Okay, so we're told that Satan will masquerade as an angel of light, and so too will his servants. So just because we're visited by an angel doesn't mean that in fact is of God. We need to test the Spirit, as John tells us in his letter. And so we test whatever it comes in, whatever form. As Vickler talked about, we must evaluate what we think God is giving us. Now, not only is there different forms, but also there's different places that these voices, these messages can come to us. One is certainly from God. Jesus says, I call my people, they hear my voice. A second is from evil spirits. Paul told Timothy, in the latter days, people will follow the teachings of demons. It's right in his letter to Timothy. So we need to be careful. What are those coming from the enemy? A third place we can get it is from our own sinful flesh, just our own thoughts, our own kind of stuff we've had from growing up. And then certainly a fourth is fact from the world, the things that the world tells us. And so we need to think about not only the form of the voice of God, how it may be coming, but how will we evaluate that word? How do we know, in fact, it is God who is speaking to me? There's so many voices, instances of people mishearing the voice of God. Again, some of this is part of anecdotal, but I heard a story of a guy who just felt God was telling him, sell everything like the rich man and go be a missionary in Africa. So he did. Finally, he gets up to the pearly gates, and he's like really proud of himself. He says, oh, God, I gave up everything, and I went to serve as a missionary in Africa. And God said, well, you know, it's really nice. That wasn't my plan for you, but it's really nice that you did that. See, sometimes we can do more than what God is calling us to do. And so we want to be clear that the voice we're hearing, in fact, is something that comes from God. Well, between our own studies of Scripture and also the teachings of both Derek Prince and Mark Vergler, there's a number of things that we're told about how to test what we believe is the voice of God. And first and foremost is Holy Scripture. We must come to the Word of God, believing that as the Holy Spirit inspired the very words of Scripture, so too, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, the Holy Spirit will not contradict themselves. And so it must be consistent with the Holy Scriptures. I've used this example before. It was a true story of a pastor who was greeted by this, but I think it makes the point very effectively. Someone came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I believe God is telling me to divorce my wife and marry this other woman. And the pastor said, no, 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 no. That contradicts Holy Scripture. That cannot be the way. I don't know who's talking to you or who you're hearing. That was a great story by Charles Spurgeon as well. Somebody came up to him and said, Charles, the Holy Spirit told me I'm supposed to preach in your church next Sunday. Charles Spurgeon said, well, that's great. When the Holy Spirit tells me that, then I'll let you preach. And how often some people can actually use this to twist it, right? You're in an important meeting, right? You're trying to discern something, and somebody says, well, God told me we should do this. Yeah, have you heard that? Yeah, kind of manipulate, right? You're in a kind of discussion. And you have to say, well, let's pray that God will reveal to all of us, or maybe at least some other of us. So this can be very much used as a part of manipulation, but it must be consistent with Holy Scripture. If we hear a voice that says, God will never forgive you, where's that voice coming from? Is it coming from God? Absolutely not. That's not what God's voice says. What about God says that nobody really wants you? You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Where's that voice coming from? Certainly not coming from God. It's not consistent with His Scripture. And so that's a very, very important first step. We look to the Scriptures, which means we need to know the Scriptures, or at least be familiar with them, and continue to be meditating on them. Now, a second one that Vergler gives us, which I think was really instructive, was he said that, particularly he's talking about these spontaneous thoughts that come to our mind. He said these thoughts will be positive and they will be constructive. They will not be destructive or demeaning, right? So if I hear a voice that's telling me, you're no good, you're just a miserable sinner, look at all the bad things you've done in your life, and I start to take upon me this guilt, this shame, you know, is that God? Is it God who wants to give us shame and guilt? No. Now, I will grant you, there's kind of a fine line sometimes between the discipline of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, versus the lies of the enemy. Now, it can be confusing, I grant you, sometimes, but I believe that if we really look at the point of the message, if the point of the message is going to lead us towards God, then that would be of God. If the point of the message is going to lead us away from God or to retreat from God or from the body of Christ, then that is probably coming from the enemy. And so we need to think now. Now, if I get, again, this is a convicting thought maybe, that says to you, you're not spending enough time in the Scriptures. That can be kind of convicting, and that can make us feel, oh, you know, I'm really not spending enough time in the Scriptures. I need to get in the Scriptures more. Now, would the enemy tell you that? I think it's pretty clear. The devil's not going to come and say, oh, you need to be spending more time in Scripture, or you need to be spending more time in prayer. Those kinds of things, I think, are pretty clear that it is God's Spirit convicting us and saying, you need to be doing this. It'll also be done with kind of, I think, a gentleness that God gives with His Holy Spirit. So anyway, generally it will be positive and encouraging, not demeaning, not tearing us down, certainly not attacking our personhood. Now, a third one that also Berkeley talks about was the fact that they will come as spontaneous thoughts. It just kind of comes to me. It just kind of comes to me. Now, one thing he distinguishes, because of the flesh, sometimes the thoughts come from within ourselves. That's certainly, you know, how do I know it's God's? I'm thinking myself out of my own selfishness, my own sinful flesh. And what Verkler says is that, again, these will be positive. And when it starts to get analytical, that's when we could start to think that my mind is now engaged. Spontaneous thought is the thought of the heart. When we start to get analytical, we've known we've jumped up to the mind and we're starting to figure out God or His ways or His things. But the voice that Verkler talks about is this spontaneous word that comes to this thought that comes into our mind. Now, I had an actual example of that happen this week. I won't get into the details of it, but basically it was something that I thought God specifically, it just a thought came into me, I want you to do this thing. Now, this thing was pretty significant. And I thought, oh, no, that's just my way of thinking. You know, sometimes I think, oh, I'm going to go and, you know, do all these wonderful things, and, you know, God hasn't called me to do that. So this one particular thing, and this word came to me, I want you to do this particular thing. And I thought, well, so I said, well, will you give me a sign? That's another thing, in fact, talk about. Let me go ahead and put that up, circumstances and signs. So I kind of wiggle my way, and I say, well, Lord, how about if you give me this sign, then I'll know that that's from you. And I told him I wanted a sign, but I told him what it was. Well, then I kind of humbled, you know, and stepped back and said, no, Lord, I just ask that you give me a sign that I would recognize as a sign from you. Remember, Gideon put out the fleece. It's okay to ask God for a sign. It's not okay to challenge God like Zacharias did and say, well, how are you going to do this? Okay, but it's okay. Say, Lord, I think you're calling me to do this. I'm asking that you would give me a sign. And I think it's safe to say, Lord, you decide, just that you would give me an awareness that I would know ultimately, yeah, this was the sign. And so I just left it to the Lord. Well, it turns out I got the exact sign that I first had asked for. And so I knew at that point that that's what God wanted me to do. Before this even happened, this whole situation was set up. This thing was there. God said, this is what I want you to do. I said, really, Lord? And I asked for a sign, and He gave me the sign. And so I did it. And it's like, wow. Now, I believe when God does lead us to things, it will not only give us a sign if we ask for it or particular things, but the circumstances will open up. If He says, I want you to sell everything, you know, sell your house and go to Africa, you know, if your house doesn't sell, now, of course, we're always asking ourselves, you know, well, maybe I'm fighting the Holy Spirit or whatever, but the circumstance, God will start to open up the doors. If He's leading you in a direction, He will start to open up the doors. And so that's our prayer, that He will not only affirm it as a blessing upon us, but also in the signs and wonders. And then finally, this is a very important one. as we're struggling to know if something is of God or not, if it's of God, we'll have a sense of peace that comes upon us. Now, if there are some of us sitting here and you're like, I have no idea what this guy is talking about. I've never been taught, as I was never taught, to hear the voice of God. I've never actually heard God's voice. I've heard other people do it, but I think that's only for other people. It's not for me. And I don't know what he's talking about. Then my sense is you probably don't know what we're talking about. But those of you who do know, there's a certain peace that comes upon you. A certain sense of, as some people say, you know in your knower, that this is of God. Why? It's edifying, it's building up, it's encouraging, it's consistent with Scripture, it's good for the building up the body of Christ, it's going to bring me closer to God. If we have that sense of all this, it's a light bulb going off from the Scriptures, that's a God thing. And boy, does it just gives us a good sense of peace. I would say not only peace, but my own experience has been a desire. There's things that God had wanted me to do, and I'm like, I don't like to do that stuff, you know? I don't like that, Lord. But he would change my heart. And all of a sudden I would have it. I'm like, well, I want to go do this thing. I want to go off and see this person. I want to go off and whatever. And I find he actually changes my heart. There are times that I went to bed at night just absolutely adamant that there was some decision he made, absolutely adamant that I was not going to do X. Adamant. No way I'm going to do X. I got up the next morning and I'm like, well, maybe X isn't so bad. If I hear the voice of God, if I listen, if I go to him and say, Lord, will you please tell me if X is what you want me to do? I'll wake up and it's just like, oh, I guess X isn't so bad. Maybe X really would work. And so we have that sense of peace that comes. And I think those of you know it, it just feels right, doesn't it? It's God speaking. It just feels right. Now, I do believe that as we truly set ourselves attention to seek the Word of God, there's things that we can do. Set aside the quiet time. Set aside the quiet time. Another thing we can do is to turn to the Scriptures, meditating on Scriptures. As I've said many times, I think it's wonderful. Some people say, you know, I read through the Bible once a year. That's wonderful. That's great. But I believe there's a gift in slow reading of Scripture. Maybe taking one psalm for a whole week. Could you imagine that? Praying one psalm over and over and over again for a whole week. There are blessings innumerable. And so we have to turn and meditate on the Scriptures. Certainly God will speak to us. Those light bulbs will go off. Finally, what Verkler recommends, this thing of journaling, actually writing it down. And the experience so many people have, you just start to put pen to paper and all of a sudden it just starts to flow. Of course, whatever comes out, again, you need to evaluate. Is it consistent with Scripture? And all those things we've already talked about. And all those things are certainly very important. Now, actually, one thing that was not talked about with Verkler, but something that we saw in our reading this morning, and so I added that from last week, was the fact of the importance of worship. And Derek Prince says the best way to prepare ourselves for hearing the voice of God is through worship. And so what did we hear in our reading today, which I picked out before this came to me, by the way, says in the early church, Acts chapter 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting is another important tool, the Holy Spirit said. While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. I think there's an important connection there. Us involved in worship and coming out of the worship, the corporate worship experience, and then coming to the Lord in that power and the grace that comes to us from this corporate worship, that in fact hearing the voice of God. And so worship is a great way to prepare ourselves for that. Now also last week, I've also added, you'll be happy to know, another obstacle. Just praying through it this week. I talked last week about hardness of heart. We have a sense, look, I don't need to do this. It's only for those other people. I already know what I need to be doing. That's all called hardness of heart. It's a major obstacle to hearing God's voice. We simply don't expect it to happen. But another one, in fact, is a sense of busyness. We have to set aside time, and our schedules are so darn busy. So busy in this world today. And then the third one is laziness. It does take an effort. It takes practice. It gets better over time. But we have to assert ourselves to it, and it's kind of clumsy at first. And we're not sure if we're doing it right. But if we persevere over it, in fact, it does bear great fruit. Now, the one I've added for this week was impatience. Because again, as I was praying through this, I realized how impatient we are as a culture, are we not? You know, our TV shows, everything's done in an hour, right? There's this murder and it's solved within an hour. Everything, we have this expectation, things are going to happen right away. And so we say to God, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait and hear your voice. Oh, I guess he's not going to speak to me. Give him 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Have you ever been in a group where they waited to hear the voice of God? Do you know how agonizing it can be? Do you know how long 30 seconds can be? It seems like eternity, doesn't it? You just wait and wait, and you think 1 minute just went by. Like, really? I mean, just waiting and waiting and waiting. I've been at meetings like that where somebody prays the Holy Spirit will come, and then they just wait. And maybe 5 minutes goes by, but boy, it seems like an awfully long time because we're so darn impatient. Yet what I was led to, again, back to the scriptures this week. Remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus, got knocked down to the ground, personal encounter with Jesus Christ. He goes on into Damascus. You know how long it was before God came back to him and sent Ananias? 3 days. 3 days he waited. What did you do for 3 days? He didn't eat or drink. Pray. But he had to wait 3 days for God to say, by the way, this is what I've got for you to do. Wow. Remember when Thomas was not there with the disciples and Jesus came? And he says, well, I don't believe unless I put my fingers, you know, in his side. How long did Thomas have to wait? He had to wait a week. Imagine, you know, the day goes by and you start to think, you guys are crazy. He didn't come back. A week went by. Remember Daniel. Daniel prayed and God sent him an angel with the answer to his prayer. You know how long it took for the angel to get there? 3 weeks. 3 weeks Daniel had. It's like, what it takes? Well, he had this prince of Persia was fighting me. Remember when Moses went up to the mountaintop? God said, come on up to the mountain. We're going to talk. Moses goes up to the mountain. How long did he have to wait? 40 days. Imagine him with his watch up there, like, talk about questioning if you've really heard the voice of God. You know, by day 30, 31, you're trying to think, did I really hear God's voice? How hard that must have been. But after 40 days, God came and spoke to him face to face. So, again, we're so impatient in this culture. It's not just a period of time saying, oh, Lord, I'll give you 10 minutes, all right? And you better do something or else I'm not going to try this again. But it's not just that. It's over a period of time. For some, it might take days, for some weeks, maybe months. But God will, in fact, speak to us. And so we have these obstacles. But gosh, what are the benefits of hearing the voice of God? What did the saints experience? The tremendous things God was able to do through them. Why? Because they were able to hear his voice. And so when we read in the scriptures that Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that Jesus is trying to talk to me? And am I going to try to hear that voice? Am I going to exert myself? Am I set aside some quiet time? Enter into the scriptures? Try to put aside my busyness and really focus, make a vision. Lord, I believe you're trying to call me. Everything that I want in life comes from hearing the voice of God. Everything that is truly good in my life comes from hearing the voice and the direction of God. Health, security, relationships, everything that is good, truly good, comes from hearing the voice of God because he wants what is best for me. Do we believe that? Is he trying to speak to us? Yes, he is. Are we inclined to hear him? No, we're not. We need to learn how to hear him. I heard some people say once, talk about Moses. How come God never speaks to his people like he did with Moses? The response was, how come God's people don't listen to him like Moses did? Everything good that I want in life comes from hearing that voice. And every fear that I have, every anxiety that I have, everything that I worry about goes away if I can but hear the voice of God. Do you believe that? Is it worth the effort? Is it worth the time? I pray that it is. Because it will transform you. It'll transform your family and those around you. It'll transform our church. It'll transform our community. And, oh God, if our nation would but hear the voice of God, it would transform our nation. So we pray for our leaders that they would hear God's voice. I started praying that about 2 months ago, that they would hear the voice of God. how transforming that would be. So I hope we believe, yeah, the Good Shepherd, he's trying to call us, he's trying to talk to us, he wants to encourage us, he wants to lift us up, he wants to give us that assurance that he's with us. He wants to tell us all these good things and lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because above all, he wants to hear him when he tells us that I love you more than you can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we believe, oh God, that you are a God who chooses to reveal yourself as you've done in Jesus, as you've done through your prophets and your word. So Lord God, help us to hear that voice, whether it comes audibly or a prompting or an impression or a spontaneous thought. Help us to discern that which is of you and that which is of the enemy or the world or sinful flesh. But in all things, God, help us to hear that voice and grant us the faith and courage to obey, that all would be to your glory and honor. In Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Amen.